I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today is from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go, I prepare a place for you, and I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate the reading. Before delving into this, I do want to share one thing that my dad always told me. I walked in the house one day when I was a young teen, and my mother had just given my dad his marching orders, what to do around the house, and my dad turned and looked at me and said, any man that says he's the boss in his house will lie about other things too. Happy Mother's Day. The scripture is frequently read at funerals. I think most of us who have ever attended a funeral may have heard that, and there's a good reason. I mean, after all, it is a comforting passage. It contains promises that are profoundly comforting in the face of death, especially the death of a loved one. However, we must understand this text is not only about life after death, but it is a scripture that has everything to do with our lives in the here and now. And that's where so many people get lost in this scripture, is they want to believe that it's about the afterlife. It is not. It's about the here and now. The setting is Jesus' farewell address at his Last Supper with his disciples. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet and has explained to them what this means. He has foretold his betrayal by Judas, and Judas has slipped out into the night. He has told his disciples he will be with them only for a little while longer, and where he is going, they cannot come. He says, where I am going, you cannot come. He has also foretold Peter's imminent denial. Frankly, it's no wonder the disciples are troubled. Would you not be if you were following and heard all of this? Their beloved teacher is leaving them. One of their own has turned against them, and the stalwart leader among the disciples is said to be on the cusp of great failure of loyalty. It is as though the ground is shifting beneath their feet, and so the disciples are sitting there trembling. They don't understand. And from what Jack read, you can hear the questions that were asked. So here, Jesus responds to the anxiety of his disciples by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus calls them back to a relationship of trust and assures them he is not abandoning them. Rather, he is returning to his Father, which is good news for them. In speaking of his ascension to the Father, Jesus assures his disciples that this was his only and is his only destination, as it is theirs. There are many dwellings in his Father's house, and he goes to prepare a place for them so they will be with him and dwell with him in his intimate relationship with the Father. Now, that's good news. Y'all don't be so shook up. I know it feels like the sand shifting beneath you, but the fact is we're all going to be there with the Father. And I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. That's comforting. That's good news. I remember when I was around 10 years old, I went to summer camp with my church for the first time. How many of you remember the first time you went to a church camp? It was the longest I had been away from home. I remember the first few nights I got homesick. You ever been homesick? I was really homesick. I wanted my mom and dad. I missed them so much, and all I wanted to do was to see them and have them come and get me. I'll never forget the camp counselor who literally poured courage into my little heart. He said, "Hey, why don't we go sit outside and talk about it?" I sat down with him and he listened as I shared how homesick I was. Then he shared love and compassion with me. He told me I could make it. He told me I could do it. And his presence brought courage back into me. At the very least, it helped me get through the nights, because during the day I had so many activities I didn't really think about it. But at night, that's when I began to think, sure miss my home, my bed, my parents. I wish they'd come and get me. I don't want to be alone. So that's usually, as I said, when I become homesick. And then I think about Jesus and what was just read, and this is what Jesus was doing for his disciples. He put his arm around them and said, "Let's sit and talk a while." He encouraged them to keep going, to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in his work, and not to grow weary in well-doing. That's an important message when you're shook up. Anyone who has suffered from anxiety knows it's nice to be comforted. When Jesus says they know the way to the place where he is going, Thomas, like most characters in the gospel, takes Jesus quite literally. He wants directions, a roadmap. Jesus responds by saying, "He himself is the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Unfortunately, this verse has often been used as a trump card, or worse, as a threat to tell people they better get with the program and accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior in order to be saved. To interpret the verse this way is to rip it from its context and do violence to the spirit of Jesus' words. This statement by Jesus is a promise, a word of comfort to his disciples. Jesus himself is all they need. There is no need to panic, no need to search desperately for a secret map. Jesus adds, "If you know me, you know and will know my Father also." The conditional phrase in Greek is a condition of fact, meaning the condition is understood to be true. If you know me and you do, you will know my Father also. So there can be no misunderstanding. Jesus adds, "From now on, you do know him and have seen him." That's for them. This time it is Philip who is not quite convinced. Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Didn't he just say, if you see me? I love the disciples. They're great. Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus' response contains a hint of exasperation. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Here Jesus echoes an affirmation from the prologue of John's Gospel. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, literally in the bosom of the Father, who has made him known. You're not going to get to see God. People don't see God. But if you see me, you have seen God. Jesus made God known to his disciples, not just physically. But if you remember last week's scripture concerning the sheep, knowing the shepherd's voice through his voice, his teachings. Why is that so important? Well, obviously, if you don't know with whom you are speaking, you can be misled. So Jesus not only says you've met the Father because you've met me, but you've heard from the Father because you've heard me. A young man was walking through a supermarket to pick up a few things when he noticed a little old lady following him around. Thinking nothing of it, he ignored her and continued on. Finally, he went to the checkout line, but she got in front of him. "Pardon me, sonny," she said. "I'm sorry if my staring at you has made you feel uncomfortable. It's just that you look like my son, who I haven't seen for a very long time." "That's a shame," replied the young man. "Is there anything I can do for you?" "Yes," she said. "As I'm leaving, can you say, 'Goodbye, mother'? It would make me feel so much better." "Sure," answered the young man. As the old woman was leaving, he called out, "Goodbye, mother." She waved and blew him a kiss. As he stepped up to the checkout counter, he saw that his total was $127.50. "How can that be?" he asked. "I only purchased a few things." "Your mother said you would pay for her," said the clerk. If you don't know the voice, right? If you don't know the voice, you can be misled. This is the whole of Jesus' mission, to make known the Father, to reveal who God is, so we won't be led astray. Jesus, who has come from the bosom of the Father, is now returning there in this fullest revelation of the person and character of God. If we want to know who God is, we need look no further than Jesus. All the words Jesus has spoken, all the works he has done, come from God and show us God. This passage has everything to do with life here and now because Jesus entrusts his mission to his disciples. We are disciples. Not just in name as disciples of Christ. We are disciples. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. Yet here is where Jesus' promises become a little hard to swallow. Greater works than these? Really, Jesus? Greater works than healing the blind and raising the dead? And you will do whatever we ask in your name? We have all known the pain of praying for healing that did not come, of feeling powerless in the face of disease and death. How can these promises come true? Perhaps our problem is that in hearing these promises, we expect to do these greater works in the same way Jesus did them, with miraculous power that instantly solves the problem at hand. Yet even miracles are not guaranteed to produce faith. Many in John's gospel who witness the signs Jesus performs have trouble seeing the work of God right before their eyes. Toward the end of John's gospel, Thomas sees the risen Lord and confesses, "My Lord and my God." Jesus responds, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet come to believe." This is not so much a scolding for Thomas as a blessing for us who have not seen and yet believe, however feeble our believing may seem. Jesus promises to be with us through the power of the Spirit, to work in and through us to accomplish the purposes of the world. Think about the miracles of today. I have an uncle that I love dearly that died when I was in my 20s, and he had just turned 50 of heart disease. That same heart today can be fixed, repaired. There are people who have problems with their lungs, and they can get new lungs. There are people with eye problems that can have them. God is alive and working through us. That is our mission. Not that we're going to perform miracles and walk out on water. Not that we're going to raise someone from the dead. But that we're going to have the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit to help people. And we have gotten there. The things that are happening today did not happen 10, 20, 30 years ago. If they said you had heart disease, you just say, "I'm gone. Not anymore." They can do 5 bypasses. Isn't that right, John? They can give you new lungs, right, Johnny? They can help your hearing. They can help your eyes, because God works through people. That's the miracle. Even greater, Jesus said. Yet, wherever there is healing, reconciling, life-giving work happening, this is the work of God. Wherever there is life and abundance, this is Jesus' presence in our midst. When that mother is there with her child, loving that child, raising that child, teaching that child, there God is in the middle. He's in the midst of all that we do. Those are miracles. It doesn't always have to be visible. So many miracles happen that we don't see. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Jesus has made known to us the heart of God. And he has entrusted this mission of making known to us. We are to make God known to others. He's given us that mission. Are you making God known to others by the way you live and the things that you do? It's your mission. It's what we're called to do. Where might we see Jesus' work and presence in our midst? How might we show others the very heart of God? We need to figure that one out, if we haven't already. That is our mission. This is our greatest challenge. This is what we are to be about. How can we show others the very heart of God? Do you accept this mission? Are you ready for the challenge? How wonderful it will be the day we can all say together, "Mission accomplished." Everyone can see God because I do the work that the Lord commissioned me to do. May we, on this Mother's Day, the mothers who display, demonstrate, and live, in most cases, the love of God, may we show that love to others. May we say, "I will be your mother, your father, your teacher. I'm here for you because I want to show you the very heart of God. Why? Because that is our mission. Let us pray. Loving and forgiving God, so often we get off track and we do not live the mission you have given us. Your Son showed us the way. He gave us the words. He encouraged us. And He loved us. May we remember that love. May we remember that encouragement. May we rise to the occasion and live and work the mission that you have set us on. For we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.